The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on 100.2 FM, Freeview 277, online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Happy birthday, Paul Andrews.
Thank you.
Yes.
That's it. We're not going to mention it anymore.
No. I hope you have a lovely day, as do our guests.
How am I going to have a lovely day? I'm in here with you.
Well, yeah, but when you escape at 2 p.m.
2 p.m.?
Yeah. Oh, 3 p.m.
It's more like 4 p.m.
BST or was I on GMT? I don't know.
But
we've got lovely Terry Thorpe who's come in bearing gifts.
I know, bought a caterpillar.
Yeah. Under his arm.
Mm.
And I bought in a candle because we arranged it yesterday, didn't we, Tezza?
Did you?
And I said, I'll bring the candle.
You brought a candle, which we can't light because of the,
fire thingy. Yeah,
because. The smoke detector. That's him.
The Wattses have you.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have gone off. And, so we've got Emily.
So basically, you did nothing. Terry did it all.
Well, yeah, because I was in my hammock.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Reclining. I was actually, I'd been out on Saturday to Greyfest.
Yeah. I guess you're going to tell us all about that.
Yeah, well,
she brought her greyhound to my house on Sunday.
Yeah, it was lovely.
Blooming thing tried to have all the food off my table.
That's the type of, they are quite tall, aren't they, Terry?
Yeah.
They can swipe off. So I'm supposed to be recuperating for 3 weeks, but having a week off work. And of course, what did I do? I went to a festival on Saturday and then a party in your gaff on Sunday.
Yep.
And then here, yesterday I reclined in my hammock and just texted Terry. I knew he was reliable. I said, could you get me a little cake and I'll bring a candle? Because I had candles in my drawer, very organized. But Greyfest, let's talk about Greyfest because I know Terry also has Casey Canine, who is on Twitter, isn't he? He's got his own Twitter handle.
He has indeed.
I think there are two Casey Canines that I talk to on Twitter. I think one, I always forget, are you the one with numbers after you? Okay. Because sometimes I do the other one, so you won't ever see those.
Who's the other one, then?
Well, there's a couple of Casey Canines, if you
search.
Yeah,
but who's the other one?
I don't know. He looks like a greyhound.
Right.
As well. Anyway, we chat, don't we, our dogs? Mm. So I went to meet Julia Farley and Steve Hayes at their house. They've got five dogs. Three of them are greyhounds, and then they've got a Spanish Galgo, which is a greyhound type.
And is that like a paella?
Paella.
Yeah.
Paella. Paella.
I'm not saying it like you.
Yeah, you don't say Marbella, do you?
You sound like Mickey Mouse.
Paella.
Yeah.
Is Mickey Mouse Spanish?
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
Anyway, paella, Marbella, and everything else with a double L. So they have a little Spanish Galgo. It's a hunting dog, but it looks like a greyhound. They've got a rescue. And they have Mr. Mitchell. Now, Mr. Mitchell and my dog, Miss Darcy, have taken a shine to each other. They're both brindles.
Right.
And Mr. Mitchell, they reckon in his heritage, is a little bit of Great Dane, Terry.
Right.
So he's a huge greyhound.
I was going to say, is he big? So listen, anyway, you rocked up at my place with your greyhound covered in rosettes.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, blimey, this dog's won things at a show. Only to find out that you were the judge. So how did that work?
Well, no.
Mrs. Serkin.
Yeah, no, actually.
Yeah, absolutely, Terry.
It was friends in high places. So a lot of the judges took a shine to Darcy when I told them her sob story of how she got rescued and everything.
Right.
And how she had a very grim start in life. And still can't be left. So our whole life has been curtailed, Emily. We can't go out unless we have the dog.
That's the problem with dogs. That's why I won't have one. Although I've got one.
You've got one. you've got a dog.
I inherited it, though.
Yeah, you've got an inherited daughter and an inherited dog.
Exactly.
So there you are. Yeah. You never know.
Our dog has been...
Your dog is deaf or blind.
Our dog is deaf and very old, and she just lays around a lot. But because she spent the day with a greyhound chasing around the garden, you should have seen her yesterday. She was hobbling everywhere. She couldn't get up. She was panting.
I'm like that every day when I do.
Well, exactly, because you're as old as she is.
Yeah, and I take her for a walk.
Yeah.
The greyhound. Anyway, so what I did was, instead of judging... I went round because there were loads and loads of stalls. There was a plant stall, actually. A local garden centre was there. And I've got all the cards, went round to each business, told them all about you, and the Business Bunker got all their cards. So we're going to have lots and lots of sort of dog-related guests in the future.
Oh, whoopee do.
And there was an osteopath there, so he's going to come on because he was based in Ashford. Thought we could get our backs.
Did he win a prize?
No, but he
what kind of breed's an osteopath?
What?
What kind of breed's an osteopath?
It's the rescue type.
Right, okay.
Of course, rescue are the best breeds, aren't they, Terry?
No wonder you can't hear me. You haven't got your headphones on. What's the matter with you?
No, they fell off.
Are you trying to spoil your hair, do you?
I'm wearing them. Oh, my hair. Don't talk to me, because I've had this eye operation.
Yeah.
Didn't think, did I? You can't get your eyes wet. I can't wash my hair.
I'm
on day seven.
It's going to go grey, isn't it? Because you can't tint it up again.
It won't go grey, darling. I'm naturally this colour.
No, you're not.
In fact, if you look back at past photos, you'll see that I'm naturally a brunette. But as one gets older, one has to go blonde. Why haven't you done that?
Why?
To have more fun, it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the fun.
Why do you have to go blonde?
Because when you're dark...
the grey hair shows up more. I got it,
A badger, isn't it? Silver lining.
Yeah.
And my roots are every 3 weeks. My hair grows really quickly every 3 weeks, even blonde.
She's bragging now, isn't it?
Yeah, my hair grows quickly. Does yours?
No.
Your sideboards...
Sideboards
or sideburns?
Technically sideburns, but for some reason, at some point, they started calling them sideboards, but I don't know why.
Well, my parents always did. But
the technical term for them is sideburns, but we don't have sideburns like they used to, do we? You know, those big whiskery things.
Oh, I love those. So mutton chops.
Or even Elvis ones.
Yeah. Do you remember, I quite like that sort of butcher mutton chop look. That was quite in fashion, you know. Something from Dickens, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Mr. Pitwick, I love the names in Dickens.
And a wax moustache.
Oh, yeah. The curly ones?
Yeah, yeah.
Handlebar.
Yeah, could have. Jimmy Edwards.
Yeah. Who's he?
Oh, come on.
I don't know who he is.
Jimmy Edwards?
No.
No?
Give me a clue.
No one? No. Well, Emily wouldn't. She's far too young.
Yeah.
Terry should. I think he's bordering. But you should know. Jimmy Edwards. Okay. He's a comedian. Actor.
What?
Wacko. Wacko, yeah.
Wacko? That's Michael Jackson, isn't it?
Yeah. No, this is way before Michael Jackson.
Did you see on Twitter?
Hold on. I can't hear Terry. I don't know why I can't hear him. Speak,
turn him
Terry.
Up. Turn
I'm
him
here.
Up.
I'm in. I am.
Yeah, turn him up.
That's better.
Yeah.
Testing.
He often does that with guests, Terry, as you probably know.
I probably turned you down. Yeah,
he turns me off all the time.
Yeah, I do.
In more ways than one.
Yeah, yeah.
What I was saying was about this osteopath. I thought I said, come on the show, because he's in Ashford. Thought we could get our backs clicked, couldn't we?
Yeah, she's a blagger, Jules. Yeah. She'll get people on that, you know. It's like her best... I knew we were going to get dogs on when her dog lead and collar got stolen. I knew that. I knew the next week we were going to get a dog collar producer. Yeah.
Handmade.
Yeah, yeah.
It's your birthday, and I sell presents, and I didn't bring you a plant.
I know. Have given Paul Andrews as it's his birthday? Because he's got a very... beautiful big garden in Tenton, big, and he's got a pond.
Do you look after the garden?
No.
He doesn't. The garden's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wild garden.
Yeah, for the most part, I've got a wood. I've got a bluebell wood and a lake and stuff like that. And I kind of let it go wild. I've got loads of blackberries and fruit trees and all that kind of stuff.
Have you got a patio?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So probably something colourful for the patio. I'll
tell you what I bought you. You'll hate this.
Yeah.
You'll hate this. Last year I bought a petunia.
Okay.
Right. From Tesco's.
That's right.
Yeah.
I used to love her song in the 70s. Petunia Clark.
Yeah. Downtown. And I stuck it in a bowl on a patio. It was beautiful. It flowered for months and months and months before it kicked the bucket. And then I bought two kind of yucca-like plants that are supposed to be outdoor plants. They both died.
Really?
Yeah. They were blooming expensive, but the petunia just kept going.
And it's just about having the right plant in the right place. So the petunia was happy there. You potted it up. It did well. Something sunny.
Yeah.
I can't imagine you potting anything up, to be honest.
Yeah, Emily's on the second part of the show, so we'll talk about it this morning. But a couple of years ago, I bought an olive tree.
Yeah.
And I had it in a plant on the patio. And then it started to grow, so I stuck it in the ground on the edge of the patio. It's massive. It blots out the entire swimming pool now, doesn't it? You can't see anything because it's massive. I had one olive on it.
Okay.
Mm. But the tree itself is massive. It's grown like mad.
Yeah, lovely.
Anyway.
Well, that'd be worth a fortune now, wouldn't it? A big, big one.
Why would it be worth a fortune? It doesn't produce anything.
Well, yeah, but they're very she-she, aren't they? Everyone in Whitstable has got an olive tree now.
All right, okay.
They are very on trend.
I was working with the Green Party recently about my bush. Where we live in, we're actually in Tankerton now. I used to live in Whitstable, so a bit further along towards Herne Bay. It's a bit wilder, and the Canterbury City Council mowed down a buckthorn bush.
Oh, we ain't going to do this story again, are we?
Because Emily hasn't heard it.
Oh, everybody in the world's heard it. You've told it 25,000 times.
All the locals went mad because it was the biggest roost for starlings and sparrows in the whole of Kent. It's been there for hundreds of years. It's on this green that you can't park on, just left alone.
Well, it's not anymore.
People come from miles around, like you came with your mum, was it?
Yeah.
Your mum? And they stand by this said bush. There were three. And they video the sound because the birds in there are just phenomenal. And it's all year round. So when all the locals were up in arms and we contacted council, and they said it's part of our deforestation programme. Absolutely mad. So I went mad and supported the Greens. And that was great. But what they did say was, I've got these two little olive trees either side of my front drive in pots by a swing seat. We've got a swing seat. And he said, the screamer, he said, and all this cladding going up and all these bloody olive trees. What is it with olive trees? And I'm going, don't walk past my house. Because it is on trend, isn't it?
They are on trend and they are beautiful. Mm. But, you know, each plant has its place. So they're great for a patio. But for a wild garden, you'd be looking at something that fits with the rest of... You know, the garden there.
Right, Jules.
So we're going to be hearing from Emily
in the second part of the show. So we don't keep asking her questions now, we, Jules?
No, we don't, Paul Andrews. But anyway, Greyfest was great. And you've been to Greyfest before, haven't you, Tessa? Because you went to Tractor Fest, didn't you?
Yeah, you went to the Bindon Tractor Fest, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you were supposed to go there, weren't you?
No. Oh. I have been in the past. It's actually good fun. Except on the day after. And then you get stuck in the traffic behind all the steamrollers and traction engines that are all wending their way home at 3 miles an hour.
Do they sell tractors there?
No.
Because, you know, Susanna from the Good Shed in Canterbury has bought this huge farm.
Yeah.
I love what she's doing. And she's buying a tractor at the moment.
Right.
She's got all these lovely photos on Instagram, videos of her ploughing the fields at night.
Mm.
Really beautiful with the lights on this great big thing. Mm. She's an amazing woman.
Yeah. So how was Tractor Fest, sorry?
Yeah, very busy.
Yeah.
Much better than last year. A lot more exhibitors.
Right.
And I spent most of my time with the Kent Greyhound Rescue Service.
Right, okay.
Who took 10 dogs along to show the public the opportunity to become a proud custodian of a retired greyhound.
Mm. Ah, cool.
So, right. I know that really floats your boat.
You quite liked Darcy when she came.
No, I didn't.
You did sort of said hello to her.
I didn't. I went, keep that dog away from my food. And that was it.
Poor Darcy.
Yeah.
Anyway, she had a great time.
She stuck her nose on my leg and it was all wet and horrible. My leg was all wet and horrible afterwards, yeah.
She had a great time in Paul's garden because it was all fenced and it's huge and she was doing zoomies up and down and she could smell the sheep in the next field. She was
and the foxes. The foxes that crossed my garden. She was going loopy, following the trails for that.
Exactly.
But then that annoyed my dog because they are her foxes.
Oh, okay. Anyway, so we'd love to hear from you as usual. Do tweet us at VanillaWeb at Jules Serkin, and we'd love to hear from you. Use the Bee Bunker hashtag, and some people have tweeted already, but we want to hear how you're doing in the biz world. And also, big hello to our listeners on FM who are in Romney Marsh.
Romney Marsh, East Sussex, South Kent.
The borders.
And growing. No, growing. The transmitter's getting more and more powerful by the day. You should be able to pick us up in Tenterton now on FM. That's going to change again shortly when Ofcom have allowed them to up the wattage of their transmitter, so you're going to be able to hear FM, us in FM in Folkestone and Dover and all kinds.
Well, do you remember when I mentioned about my my water butt?
Don't go there again.
We were getting a free water butt only when...
No, don't say she's done it. She's done it again. She's done it again.
And then Paul got a phone call from, you know, various people saying, here, We can't get one.
No, I didn't. I got told off by the council.
Yeah, but it was the wrong council. It was only
but it wasn't my fault. She did a story about getting a free water butt from Southern Water because of the poo in the sea. Yeah. They said it was about the water rain runoff.
Well, they decided and to blame
shut
us.
Up. I'm telling the story.
They decided
shut
to
up. She really? Claimed that they were going to give her a free water butt. Okay.
Yeah.
After the show, I had Folkestone Council contact me and say, why have you been telling everybody they could get free water butts? We've had people ringing the council asking for their free water butts. And I said, we didn't. It was Whitstable, not Folkestone, and it wasn't the council, it was Southern Water. But apart from that, spot on.
Yeah, exactly. But if you are listening in all these FM areas in Tenterden and Romney Marsh and on the Surrey-Sussex borders, don't feel shy. Do get in contact with us. Because
thank
we'd
you.
Love to hear how... what I would like to know, and all these lovely little villages that are listening now as well as towns, is who your local SME is, who you love, what shops you love, what shops you support. Indie businesses, that's what we want to hear.
Absolutely, yeah, shop local.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Right, are you going to read something?
Yeah, well, my phone is playing up, so I'm trying to do a tweet with the pictures of our esteemed guests. And my phone is really weird.
Oh, I've got bored now.
It's been like that all morning. But
I'm going to do the cheesy chinage.
All right.
Now, this is well cheesy, but it's a double cheese.
Right. Will I get it?
You'll get a track, yeah.
I might not. I've had an operation. I'm a bit too lally. I need more of that.
That's never stopped you before.
Yeah.
You will get the track straight away, but it's a double cheese, and I'll have to explain it afterwards on both counts.
All right. Boys, Eddie Grant.
Yeah.
We're going to rock down to Electric Avenue.
Electric Avenue.
What's that got to do with Terry?
Now in the streets there is violence, and then a lot of work to be done. No place to hang a low washing, and then I can't. Electric Avenue, and then we'll take it higher. Oh, we're gonna rock down to Electric Avenue, and then we'll take it higher. Working so hard like a soldier, can't afford a thing on TV. Deep in my heart, I abhor ya. Can't get food for the kid. Good God, we're gonna rock Electric Avenue, and then we'll take it higher. Oh, we gonna rock down to Electric Avenue, and then we'll take it higher. Oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no, oh, no. We gonna rock down to Electric Avenue, and then we'll take it higher. Oh, we gonna rock down to Electric Avenue, and then we'll take it higher. Who is to blame in one country? Never can get to the one. Dealing in multiplication, and they still can't feed everyone. Oh no, we gonna rock down to Electric Avenue, and then we'll take it higher. Electric Avenue, and then we'll take it higher. Oh, out in the street, out in the street, out in the daytime, out in the night. Oh, we gonna rock down to Electric Avenue, and then we'll take it higher. Electric Avenue, and then we'll take it higher. Out in the street, out in the street, out in the playground, in the dark side of town.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk.
Does your business have great customer service? Are you a successful small or large business? Are you creative or innovative? Whatever your business strengths, you need to shout them out. So what's stopping you? Enter the Kent Business Awards now. Get your easy-to-complete application form from businessawardskent.co.uk.
Talis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Eddie Grant there, Electric Avenue. That was Double Cheese.
Cracking.
There was Double Cheese. Let me explain. In a minute, any minute now, we're going to talk to Terry Thorpe. We're going to talk about cars. And one of the things we're going to talk about is electric cars.
Yeah.
Get it? Electric Avenue.
Yeah, I got that.
Yeah. But some people might not know this, but today's my birthday.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah. And the reason that that has a special thing is when my boys were little, they saved up their pocket money, and it was the first birthday present they ever bought me was Eddie Grant's Electric Avenue.
Oh, right? On a record player?
No.
Well, wind up?
No. And it wasn't a 78, no. And also, Stu, my youngest, until last year, lived opposite Electric Avenue.
He did, didn't he?
In Brixton,
But now, talking of Double Cheese, I haven't had a McDonald's for years, and of course other burgers are available, but it's made me want one now.
You want to...
I haven't had one for about 10 years, but I do quite like a Burger King.
Do you know, Burger King are far superior to McDonald's. Big Macs have got smaller and smaller and smaller.
Have they? I literally haven't had one for years. But I tell you what else I used to like, talking about burgers, a Wimpy Bean Burger. Does Wimpy exist anymore?
It does. There's one in Maidstone.
Is there?
Yeah.
Because there used to be one in Faversham, but it's gone. But I used to like...
There's a Wimpy bar in Gabriel's Hill, Maidstone. Yeah.
It was a spicy bean burger. I wonder if they still do it.
I don't know. Wimpy. And the bendy sausage used to make me laugh.
With the chunks out.
Yeah.
Who bites that chunk out, I wonder? Yeah. Probably the customer before, I suppose they share it. But, I do quite like a Burger King and the mac and cheese. But me and my new husband, I go to the local butcher, which is Sermon's, in Tankerton High Street.
You can't get a word in edgewise, can you, Terry? We're going to talk to Terry, and then she goes rattling off.
I buy a load of 100% beef, and then I just squish it together and make a burger.
Yeah.
And then onion, and then some blue cheese, and melt it all out, and a little bit of organic.
She's doing it deliberately.
And then a slice
of... She's doing it deliberately. You know, she's doing it deliberately.
Because
I'm on a diet, you know, she's going to talk about the two things I don't want, you know, dogs and food, the way through the show.
You could eat the beef burger, no problem, just not the bun. You'd be fine if you just have the beef burger, the lettuce and that, and not the bun. It's the bun that will make you tubby.
Right.
It's the carb.
Anyway, Terry.
Hello, Terry.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome Terry back onto the show. He's our car and vehicle correspondent from DG East, the vehicle supply company. Terry, thank you for joining us. How you been?
Yeah, we've been fine. Thank you very much.
Last time you were on, we were talking about delays in shipping new cars due to... I wasn't even going to mention my car, which has been recalled.
Again, and
no software
spare
problem.
Wheel, did you?
No, that was the second one. No,
I can't get up.
Anyway, let me finish introducing Terry and then I'll have a moan about my car. Last time you were on, we were talking about supply shortages in terms of semiconductors and all kinds of things that are going on, so we kind of catch up about that. My new car was delayed, as was everybody else's, in terms of being delivered. It's now been recalled, but for a software error. Apparently, the battery catches fire.
Oh, nice.
And it's not an electric car.
And it's not an electric car, so I think they've just done that just to feel better about it,
oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Covering their rear end.
That's, yeah,
that
exactly.
That sounds political yeah. to me.
And then I got a puncher a couple of days ago, and I phoned up CB Motors. They got the tyre replacement, and they're always good there. They've always got one in stock. And they had a car in, they had a tyre in stock. And I went out, I went to go and get it, and the tyre had gone completely flat. And I thought, they don't look like run flats, which
what?
Is unusual.
What are run flats?
On most top-end cars now, you have what are called run flat tyres, where you can actually drive on a flat tyre for a certain amount of
oh, wow.
distance, you know, at a low speed, to get you to a garage.
Don't they give you, like, a topical thing to put on to get you through? Or some... I think I've got in my Merc some sort of thing that you spray on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, don't confuse
anyway.
The thing. They're not run flats. Anyway, they weren't run flats. So, hold on. Damn, I'm going to have to change the tyre. There's no spare.
No, saves weight.
Yeah.
But that's bonkers.
Yeah.
If you don't have a spare. What if you're on a trip? What do you have to do then? Walk?
The stuff that you just said, you have to put foam in it.
No, it doesn't work.
And it doesn't work, no.
You have to spend £300 or £400 being recovered.
Yeah.
Then you have to have a new tyre.
Yeah.
I've got a customer rang me Saturday morning when I was at Tractor Fest. I have a bolt in the side wall of my tyre.
Right.
He said, I can't find the spare. You don't have a spare.
Mm.
It's a fully electric BMW. There's no room for a spare. And you
this
couldn't have a spare anyway because it would put your weight up and then you wouldn't be as economical as you need
this
to be.
This is crazy.
And this is what the manufacturers have been selling us for years. When they took out spare wheels, it's saving weight, it's saving fuel, it's saving you money.
Mm.
Absolute
rubbish.
Hogwash,
yeah.
would be a word to use. It's saving them money, and then they will sell you a spare wheel for £200 or £300.
Yeah.
That's disgusting.
I mean, I was always a fan of run flats for that reason, because at least you could get somewhere with a flat tyre, yeah? And I've had to, on my Merc, it had run flats. The only problem is when you come to replace it, it's about another £80 dearer for another run flat. But compared to being towed in and all the rest of it, it's still a better deal. I had to pump the tyre up. Luckily, Amanda, for my birthday, actually gave me my birthday present early. She bought me a compressor. So I pumped the tyre up, drove halfway to the garage where it went flat again, stopped at the side of the road, pumped it up again, just to get to the tyre place, which luckily was only about 2 miles away.
Well,
you should have rung the emergency services. 0800 777 111 BMW International Rescue would have come out and sorted you.
Yeah, in about 8 hours.
Yeah, exactly. Depending on where you are.
90 minutes is what they guaranteed.
But that's still a long
yesterday.
Time, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
What about AA and RAC? And
well,
that?
No, no.
Do they carry them?
Well, to be fair to the car did say that.
Yeah.
The car
said it, yeah.
It speaks, does it?
Oh, yeah, of course it does.
Yeah.
It's a hello.
Oh, this is the car that you actually couldn't work because it was so newfangled.
Yeah, yeah. It's hello. You have a flat tyre.
Yeah.
Would you like me to call roadside assistance?
Yeah.
Would you like
rescue.
Me to call roadside assistance now? No, thank you. You shouldn't run. You shouldn't drive on this tyre. It is flat. Bossy Germans, you see.
Mm, yeah. You can't say that on air.
Ah,
yeah.
Right. So, you're talking about things being delayed, and you're. Recall action needed on your BMW.
Right.
I have one that is not a German problem. It's an Indian problem.
Right.
A brand new Discovery delivered last July, and the customer is still waiting for their spare key.
No.
Really?
Over 12 months, no spare key, and they're quoting the chip problem.
Right.
But then the Japanese have also got the same problem. I had a new Lexus delivered 3 weeks ago, only one key.
This
unbelievable,
is
isn't it?
Yeah. Absolute bonkers. But going back to the tyre thing, if you need a tyre, do the RAC and the AA, of which I'm a member, and they've always been brilliant, do they have a tyre?
No. They are there to come along and pat you on the head and try and see what the problem is. They don't have tyres, but they will contact a tyre, inverted commas, specialist, who will probably dance and run around the workshop and put your tyre on.
So it's all about making more money then, and not looking after the motorists.
Yeah.
Customer service has disappeared, and it's not just the car industry. We all know it. Most things that we deal with now. There is no customer service. The attitude is we couldn't give a monkey's, and if you don't like it, go somewhere else.
I'll tell you what made me laugh. This drove me bonkers, because I've worked in technology for over 50 years, and I just hate technology now. It is just so computers say no all the time, and there's no humans involved in the process. The recall on my BMW is for a software fault. I go into the dealership in Ashford to book it in. Fine, book it all in. I booked it in weeks and weeks ago. They couldn't do it until I got back from holiday. Couple of nights before it was due in, I get a text message, and it says, do you want to avail yourself of the quick booking service? In which case, click here and fill out the details. Yeah. So I do all of that. And it says, and then the night before it says, we open at 8 o'clock. Please be here no later than 8:10 because it's scheduled for this and all the rest. So I get all these text messages, fill them all in, do it all. I drive over there. I actually went shopping, because we were literally, it was the day we got back from holiday and we had nothing in the house. And I thought, I've got to go to Ashford for 8 o'clock. And I thought, I wonder what time Sainsbury's opens in Ashford, 6 a.m. So I went shopping at like 6:15 in the morning.
For coffee makers.
Yeah.
Those plungy things.
Yeah. And then I drove to the dealership. I get there and I go, right, she said, can I have your key? And I went, well, no, not until you give me the courtesy car, because I've got my shopping in the car and I want to transfer it. She said, I can't do anything until you give me the key. Well, why? Because I've got a key reader here and it's all linked. Oh, okay. Give her the key. 28 minutes later,
no,
she's still swearing at the key machine that won't read the key.
Yeah.
And I go, just give me the courtesy car, I'll sign the insurance form and I can go. No, it has to be through the key, otherwise our system doesn't work. I go, how is this a productivity or performance increase? It's not. 20 years ago, I could walk into the dealership, give you the key, sign the insurance form, get in the car and drive away in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
With the benefit of technology, it now takes me an hour.
Well, I will come back to you in a minute, Terry, but I was trying to pay my mum's lifeline. You know?
The SOS phone.
They put the price up, so I had to, I owed them, and my mother owed them £8.62. So I phoned up to try and pay £8.62 to Canterbury City Council. I was on the phone for an hour where their system, it's driving us mad, you know, and they phoned me back, didn't work. I phoned them back, didn't work. An hour. And in the end, I said, do you know what? I'm just going to post a check. It was an hour. Unbelievable.
It's crazy.
Just to pay £8.62.
Anyway, let's talk to Terry about cars.
Yeah.
So, has the situation improved since last time, Terry? Where are we with...
it looks a bit happier than last time.
Yeah. Where are we with car deliveries? What's the deal at the moment? Are we still suffering shortages as well as spare keys?
Yes. Yeah. The shortages are still there. The lead times are still elongated.
Right.
Both cars and commercial vehicles.
Tell us which countries these cars are coming from.
Well, the German cars, the French cars... the Chinese seem to be slightly better.
Well, they would.
But then they were clever enough to fill their vaults with semiconductors when everybody else had none. So they were able to continue.
Maybe because they knew more than everybody else did.
But then we had the other issue, which got sort of swept under the carpet, of the ship off Holland full of electric cars.
Yeah, I saw that. It burst into flames. Yeah.
What about Fujitsu? Is it Fujitsu or somebody that's opened a factory here in Kent, haven't they?
I don't know.
I heard about this. Fujitsu? Must be Japanese.
How much have we paid them to do that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Google it, any listeners.
I wouldn't trust anything out of Fujitsu, not after what they did to the Post Office Horizon system.
So we've re-employed them to do something else.
Yeah, we would.
Because
they were so bad.
I was going to ask you something else now, and she interrupted with a silly question.
How unusual.
It wasn't silly. I've heard that they're opening an electric factory.
A semiconductor factory.
Something like that.
We were going to do one in Wales, but I think it got shelved.
Yeah, it did,
We're just having an evaluation about whether we need to have a semiconductor factory. The rest of the world's building factories as fast as they can.
Yeah.
And we're just chatting about it.
Of course we do. We do a lot with hot air in this country, unfortunately. Mm.
It worries me, though, not getting too political, but with the ULEZ thing, that people are now going to have to throw their perfectly decent cars away because they
can't afford. I've got a solution to that,
right.
And we're going to talk about that in a minute because that ain't going to happen.
Right.
We're going to talk about that in a minute. But I want to kind of set the scene for where we are here. I've just been on holiday to France and they gave me a Dacia Stepway as a hire car. I've never driven a car with such a bad gearbox. It's a silly little box with a 6-speed gearbox. You can get out a third.
Where's it made?
It's a Renault.
In Romania.
And made in Romania, yeah. And it's part Chinese, isn't it, as well, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything is part
Chinese. Yeah, yeah.
Except Greyhounds.
Yeah. There's thousands of them in France because it's the cheapest new car you can buy. Yeah. So there's thousands of them and they're basically easy to maintain because they're Renaults. And you can, most of the Renault garages will service them. Mm. For the fact that it costs $5,000 new as a car, yeah, that's fine. But, you know, it's not a nice car, basically.
It's a modern version of the Renault 4, which
basically.
Utility vehicle.
Yeah, basically.
With a walking stick to change gear.
Yeah, yeah.
What about the Citroëns? Are they still going in France?
Don't get me on that.
My eye surgeon was, as he was slicing my eyes open, we were chatting about the good shed and food and things, and then he was talking about electric cars, and his wife's got a Kia, and he said he's driving up to Liverpool in it. He was very impressed with a Kia. Electric car. I said, you can get to Liverpool. He said, well, I know where all the charging points are and everything else. I know where they all are.
That's the thing these days, isn't it? That's pub talk, that is. Yeah. I know a secret charger. Yeah. Hidden where nobody else knows.
And I said to him, can you put your aircon and your radio on? He said, oh, yes. Yeah. It's
great as long as it doesn't rain and you have to switch the wipers on.
So do you have Kias on your books?
Oh, we can get hold of anything. Any make.
There's suddenly a lot of new, I was going to say manufacturers, but they're not new manufacturers. They're just different marketing marks, aren't they? Like this Cupra or whatever it is, which is a Seat.
Cupra is the high-end version of Seat.
Which is just a Volkswagen.
Yeah, it could be a Skoda if you want.
It could be a Skoda.
Them.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know,
yeah.
I mean, so it's. I mean, Toyota started it. They went Lexus.
Mm. See, I like a Toyota. I like the Japanese cars. Mm.
Well, they used to be more reliable. Unfortunately, they're now just more expensive.
Well, you know, my old Honda CRV has done like, I don't know, 400 million miles and is still going. Amazing, and you see all these old Honda CRVs on the road, don't you? Still going, they're so reliable.
Talking about that,
we've never spent more than £80 on that Honda.
I see that Volvo have announced they're not making estate cars anymore.
Oh, what happens if you've got loads of kids?
Well,
and a dog.
One then wonders what Volvo are going to make, because that was what they were famous for, was estate cars.
Yeah.
I think they've gone down the electric route.
Yeah.
I think there is some Chinese influence.
Yeah, because they're Chinese owned now, aren't they?
Yeah. Isn't everybody?
Yeah, true.
I can see a huge, you know, because we know that BT are going to take our landlines out. Mm. I still use my landline occasionally. If I'm going to hang on for ages, I put it on loudspeaker and wander around.
I haven't got a landline.
I know, you haven't. But if we get cyber attack, we're stuffed without a landline, aren't we?
I was one of the first people moved on to the new SIP. Why, I don't know, but so my landline doesn't exist. My phone is plugged into the router. If you get a power cut, you can't call 999 or anyone else for that matter.
Yeah. I think this is crazy.
Yeah. I ring BT and I point this out and they go, get a mobile. I mean, if I get a mobile, what's the point in me having your telephone at all?
Yeah
we need it for broadband. But you told me I don't.
Mm.
Yeah, no, but you still have to.
Mm. I've got a BT post at the bottom of our garden, and they literally hop up the pole when I'm on my hammock and, like, peer at me. But there are more and more wires going on it, and these, like, black boxes that are going up. It's like wires everywhere, going everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't know what they're up to, but they're up to something.
They're converting people onto... onto SIP.
And what does SIP stand for?
I
thought it was a pension pot.
Yeah, it is. it's just basically the IP. It's telephones on the internet.
Hmm.
I can't remember what the S stands for, actually.
I think we'll be back to two baked bean cans.
System Internet Protocol or something like that.
Don't you, Terry? We'll be back to two baked bean cans and a tit and a string.
Well, internet telephony, I mean, that's an internet telephone. Internet telephony works really well. It's actually better quality than the copper wire. It is much better quality.
Unless you get a...
But the thing that annoys me... Yeah, the thing that annoys me is, well, it's nothing to do with a cyber attack. You don't cyber attack a telephone. The problem with internet phones is power cuts.
Yeah, if your internet goes down, you're stuffed.
Yeah, from a power cut. Because these analog telephones are powered through the telephone cable itself at very low level. Whereas an internet phone requires electricity to run. And if you get a power cut, it won't work.
Well, we've got energy crisis, haven't we? Which I don't see getting better.
Yeah.
Energy, you know what energy bills happens. Last year, new husband and I were sitting shivering.
Terry's got his own windmill, mate.
Yeah. New husband and I were shivering in front of a wood burner all winter in one room.
Right, anyway, let's get back to talking about cars rather than your telephone.
Yeah.
And sharing your telephone. Your husband.
Yeah. Yeah. It was your telephone anyway.
Yeah. So we've still got issues with supply.
Yes.
The second-hand market, still expensive?
Very expensive. Shortage of supply, obviously, because new isn't being sold very much. Mm. So that's not going to improve until new supply improves. I have a theory, because I like putting out theories, and everybody can moan at me on Twitter. The manufacturers are working on the premise that they can make as much money selling one-third of the production of vehicles that they used to sell. So why would they want to step up production?
Right.
So that is how they're working, you know.
Well, the funny thing was, my car went in for a recall. Within 20 minutes, I get a guy on the phone. I've just had a look at your car, which we've got in here. I can offer you whatever money. He said, would you like to sell it? I said, yeah, I'd love to. Send me the money. And he went, oh, great. I said, don't think BMW would be very happy. He went, why? It's their car. Oh, is it leased? Yeah. You can't do anything for a computer, but you can't tell where the car came from in your own
No. The trouble is, salesmen are not. They're order takers.
Yeah.
They do not know how the world works. They cannot value a second-hand car. It's all got to be put on a form and given to somebody up the line.
Yeah.
And we're back to the days of lack of service and
absolutely
with it.
So, we've been looking at the car market. You know, the big talk is EVs, electric vehicles. We've been busily laughing at all the car fires. There seems to be a bit of a problem with electric vehicles and their batteries exploding into flames. You had one recently when you were racing, didn't you, over at Lydon?
Yeah, we were down at Lydon racing our very high-performance turbo petrol car.
Right, a real car.
Petrol. and on the Friday morning, a couple of electric vehicles caught fire and took their transporter with them.
Blimey.
And 9 fire engines from Kent were tied up there.
Because you can't put them out, can you? You have to let them burn out.
Yeah. And apparently the Americans take them and stick them in a ditch or a river or a pond, and they still burn underwater. So. Mm.
Gosh, that's awful. Mm.
They don't tell you that when you look online and go to try and buy your Tesla or whatever else other vehicles are available that run on batteries.
So, I mean, most people are now assuming that because we've got these arbitrary targets that the government set about new cars fading out by whatever it is, 2030.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody's now assuming that you're going to have to buy an EV, an electric vehicle.
Whether you can afford it or not.
Yeah, I mean, from that point of view, there are cheaper EVs about now. There's no real second-hand value to an EV, though, is there?
Well, not really, because the fear is, how long will the batteries last?
Exactly.
If you get a 10-year-old EV and the battery dies, then you need half the value of the new price of the vehicle to buy a battery.
Anyone that's got an iPhone will know about battery life, which is why probably more people would rather lease an electric car because of the battery thing.
Yeah,
maybe.
Sensible. The other problem is that the insurance industry has worked out that because of the fires and other reasons that electric vehicles are very expensive to repair or replace. Insurance premiums have just sort of jumped by 400 or 500 quid.
Our insurance has just leapt up, and we've had no claims for about 100 years.
Okay, so people are assuming that EVs the future, but it's not looking particularly bright. We've kicked around hydrogen for a while. Where's that going at the moment, Terry?
Well, BMW have got nearly 100 hydrogen-powered vehicles which are running around all over the world.
Right.
In dusty conditions, cold conditions, very hot conditions. iX5s, there are some in the UK, but the biggest problem with the UK is you can't buy any fuel.
Right.
I think there's 12 pumps in the UK.
Right.
Gosh.
Other countries are a bit ahead of it. So it's really an evaluation.
Right.
It doesn't mean it's going to be the solution.
Yeah.
And a lot of the industry are saying hydrogen is good for lorries, buses, heavier vehicles.
Right.
May not be the answer for passenger cars,
right,
but it's certainly probably better than going totally down the electric route and not being able to boil a kettle in the evening and having thousands of cables all over the back streets when you're in a city situation.
Yeah.
And energy shortages, which a lot of people think we're going to have.
Oh, don't get me started on that. I was talking to some eco loons on social media yesterday who are claiming that one of the benefits of EVs is you can put the stored electricity back into the grid to cover for, you know, when the wind doesn't blow and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. What they're saying is, oh, well, the cover for that is all the EVs can plug in and put the electricity back into the grid. And you're going, that's just perpetual motion, isn't it? You know, because if I put all my electricity back in the grid, I can't drive my car anymore. Yeah. And anyway, as far as I know, I've only ever come across one car that's available. There may be more, but I haven't heard of them, that has an inverter built in. So none of the electric cars available at the moment could put electricity back into the grid. They don't have the equipment to do it.
Tessa, what about these buses that I sometimes see where I live in Canterbury that say they're fueled by cooking oil and things? Yeah. I see double-decker buses.
It's a step on from the old biofuel, which I think the Swedes started. Saab, you were running biofuel 20-odd years ago.
So why aren't we using this?
Because possibly, contentious, the oil companies don't want people to use alternative fuels because they won't make any money.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a diesel, you could run on almost anything, can't you? I mean,
chip fat
will make a diesel run. My big thing, and this is what I want to talk...
A bit personal.
Huh?
A bit personal.
What is?
Your big thing. Anyway, carry on.
What can you do with her?
Smut.
A smut.
Don't expect smut on this channel.
It's just smut, isn't it? The older she gets, the smuttier she gets. Yeah.
Let's go on other channels where they give out smut.
She'll start talking about her bush again in a minute.
Yeah. I missed that one.
You were lucky, Terry. You were lucky. My big thing, and I believe this is actually the future for vehicles, unless the government step in and stop it, in which case that will tell you something that you probably don't want to know. I'm a big fan of e-fuels, synthetic fuels. There are a number of organisations around the world, Shell, Porsche, the Chinese, of course, that are all experimenting with synthetic fuel.
What is it? Made out of old nylon tyres?
No. It's fuel made in a laboratory.
Okay.
Yeah. And it burns no carbon. But it effectively acts the same as petrol. Yeah. And it looks like petrol. And you buy it by the gallon from a pump. Mm. And it will run any car that already exists. So basically, it's a petrol replacement that isn't petrol. And it isn't fossil fuel based.
The first counter argument would be how much energy is used to create it.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And is that energy coming from wind or tidal or are you burning fossil fuels to make a non-fossil fuel product?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the issue with anything, isn't it? Is that if you go down the line, it always ends up at the same place, which is how are you producing this in the first place? And for me, you know, the whole answer to that is because we just won't produce electricity using the most renewable resource there is on the planet, which is nuclear. Mm-hmm. And people won't use it, and they come out with all kind of daft reasons for not using it. But you're right, you know, anything down the line. However, As an indicator of where this is going, Formula One have announced that all racing will be e-fuels from 2026. And Porsche have opened a factory in Peru that is currently producing commercial quantities of e-fuel. So it exists. It works. There's things, as Terry said, about, you know, the how do you produce it and how much energy. But you can say the same about electric vehicles, can't you? We all know that, you know, electric vehicles are as eco-friendly as a, you know, a 50-year-old diesel bus. I mean, it's just nonsense, most of this stuff. But I think that out of all the three technologies that are most likely, e-fuels, to me, have the biggest benefit, leaving aside your point, sorry, because it means that every car that exists at the moment can carry on using it in a better way.
The thing is, that doesn't, does that make all these big giants money? Because it's all about money at the end who's going to make money?
Well, one assumes that because companies like Shell and BP are involved in it, then they're going to make money out of it because they're going to be producing the e-fuel. Instead of digging it out of the ground, they're going to be making it in a lab.
So that means that we could just carry on driving our own car?
Yeah, yeah.
That would be great.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the key thing that we argue about. I'm not an expert in cars, but I debate this all the time with my partner, who is a car nut, and we're not giving up our old cars because it's throwing away.
Exactly.
Do you know the film?
Keep looking at it.
The waste of throwing away a perfectly good car is absolutely criminal, and that's what I'm saying.
The film Mad Max.
That was Emily, by the way.
The film Mad Max is set in 2023.
2023? Oh, God. It's terrifying, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Terrifying. Mm-hmm. This is exactly what I was tweeting the other day, that the mayor of London is expecting, you know, Joe Bloggs and all these...
Oh, no, don't even go down there. Don't even go that route.
All these plumbers and all the tradesmen that have to drive into London.
Don't you love politicians? Yeah.
Just go and get a 70,000.
You're murdering Londoners with toxic output, but give me £12.50 and we'll turn a blind eye to it. That's just bonkers, isn't it? It's just stupidly bonkers.
And what are they going to do with all the, if everybody has to scrap their perfectly good cars? Mm. It does not make sense.
Well, they have a scrappage scheme in London now. You get £2,000 for scrapping your car,
yeah,
and then all you need is to find another 48,000 to buy the equivalent electric vehicle,
then put an electric thing in your house, and you need a drive and all this malarkey as well.
Did you see that one the other day? An EV parked outside a terraced house in London, and the cable was stretched at head height across the pavement. This isn't going to work, is it?
No.
Okay, so. What's the landscape looking like, Terry? I mean, as far as orders are concerned, are people still trying to buy new cars? Is there a big shift towards EVs? What's happening?
Well, obviously, most of our customers are business users. Mm. So obviously, their high mileage dictates that the vehicles need to be replaced, not as regularly as they were, but if you're doing 40,000 miles a year, you've got to replace it in 3 or 4 years' time.
Yeah.
The current figures say that last month, 56.9% of the new cars registered in the UK were powered by petrol.
Right, okay.
On the other end of the scale, diesel is down to under 8% registrations, whereas 15, 20 years ago, we were all told diesel is the thing to go.
Well, it was an EU regulation, wasn't it, for a little while to buy diesel, which is why whenever you go into a dealership now and get a courtesy car or anything else, it's always a diesel.
But we have to, as Joe Public, we have to jump to their tune every time, don't we? We all do what we're told, including being locked down and everything else.
But I think the implication of what Terry says as well is, of course, a lot of second-hand cars on the market are all diesel, aren't they?
Second-hand diesels will go for 150, 200,000 miles if they're reasonably well maintained.
Yeah.
The fuel will still be there. Mm. And then the rest of the new vehicles, and you're only looking at 35%, are some form of electric.
Right.
Either battery electric or hybrid electric or plug-in hybrid electric, just to confuse the whole world.
Right.
So it's not taken over yet,
right?
And it'll be a while. My discussion with most of my customers is wait.
Yeah.
Take the cheapest vehicle you can have for the next 3 years,
yeah.
which will probably be a petrol in most cases,
yeah.
or if you're doing a lot of mileage or you're commercial, it'll be a diesel.
Yeah.
And then we look at the solution and find out whether biofuel is available, whether hydrogen comes to the market, or whatever.
Yeah.
You don't have to make a decision now when 2030 is the winning post or the losing post, depending on which side of the fence you're on.
Yeah. A lot of European countries are pushing it out now, as well, aren't they? I see the Germans have demanded to move the cut-off point for net zero back to 2050. So I think you'll find a lot of that because, the landscape, it just isn't right for their targets at the moment.
No, well, the Germans are talking about pulling out of the European agreement and not going down the electric route and possibly, at the moment, looking at the hydrogen route.
Right, okay.
Which, if that puts them out of step with the rest of Europe, there'd be a big row.
Yeah.
People want to leave Europe. Oh, hang on, we've done that.
So, in interesting times. Terry, as always, it's fascinating to talk to you. Thank you for that. Give us a shout out for your website so that people can find out what you do and they can, get in contact with you and ask you to order the next milk float for them.
Indeed, and probably get some milk. It's www.dgeast.co.uk. And the website will tell you about all the products that are available and other services as well, like repairing your dents and scratches and all those other things that happen to your motor vehicle, regardless of the fuel it's using.
Yeah, that was for you, Amanda. I'm saying no more.
Oh, I was missing that, so I'm looking at the Twitter.
We've just had the Skoda back with a new seat.
What did you do?
A new seat, yeah. The driver's seat packed up.
The
electric seat, it wouldn't move. We had to have a new seat. Apparently, it was a known fault on Skodas.
There's always a known fault on all these cars.
No. But they've been replacing seats because it took ages to take it back because they said, no, we know about that. We'll order a new seat, but it will be quite a while because we've had to order a lot of new seats.
I think Terry's wise words were about the holding on and waiting, and I think that's right. And I think at the moment we're all in this sort of influx of, like, there's a lot going on at the moment, isn't there? And there has been for the last 3 years, really, since about 2020 end of. And there's so many unknowns, and I certainly do not want to spend another winter shivering in my house just with a wood burner. And we've got three boilers in our house, so it's difficult.
That's two gas and a Joules.
Thank you for that.
That's all right.
We're looking at solar panels, and we're looking at heat pumps, and we're looking at all sorts, and that's another show. We had a tweet, but I think your wise words and the takeout from Terry is possibly wait. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
As far as Carl's concerned,
Don't rush. And whatever you do, don't listen to politicians.
Because they'll change their mind once we've all spent 70 grand on a new car. We've had a tweet from Field Marshal Brown. I'll read his Twitter handle in a minute. And he says, he must be listening in. Jules Serkin, no mention of you, Paul Andrews, even though it's your birthday. He says, most of Australia's telephone copper wires are gone. Mm. We're practicing smoke signals again, just in case.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the same all over the world. Everyone's going the same way. They're ripping out copper and going with fibre.
Mm. And then Tracy Ferguson at Tazy 64. She's the owner of Plucky's World. Mm. She's a mentor as well. You can find her on pluckysworld.com. That's pluckysworld.com. She says the ULEZ charge must have some influence on the sales downturn in diesel cars.
Absolutely.
To be continued after the news.
Yeah, we're going to join the newsroom. When we come back, we've got another fantastic guest to talk to. We're going to talk to Emily. I'm sure we'll catch up some more with Terry as well. But for the moment, let's join the newsroom.
Find out what's happening.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews. Channel Radio News Update.